You're listening to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. This week, the Snyder administration's school reform office suggested that it could eventually close schools where students have low rankings on state tests. There are 120 schools that are in the bottom 5% of performance, and that's the cutoff, although there are some exceptions. We'll get into that later. In an opinion piece this week in the Lansing State Journal, John P. Smith III criticized the state's plans. Smith is a professor of educational psychology at Michigan State University, and he joins us now. So among your points was this: what's magic about the bottom 5%? Can you explain what your concerns are there?
This may sound a little mathematical, but we have a collection of schools in Michigan, public schools. All of our schools will be ranked the way we do schooling and testing right now by performance on the annual mandated tests. And we will always have a lowest ranking 5%. So no matter how many schools we have in Michigan, we will have a lowest performing 5%. So one of my biggest concerns is that without further argument and justification, simply targeting the lowest 5% doesn't seem to make a lot of sense.
Yeah, after a few decades, you might run out of schools.
And that leads me to wonder whether the goal is to improve schools or whether the goal is to reduce the number of schools.
One of the points you made is that the state has switched from one standardized test to another. How do you determine over the short period of time we've been using the M-STEP test whether a school is doing well?
Well, they're quite different. I think
you mean M-STEP, you know, and MEEP are different.
Yes, the M-STEP first given in spring of 2015 compared to the annual test known by its acronym, the MEEP, the year before. Wisdom in assessment would say that we should stay with this new regime since it's quite different than the small differences that were the case on the MEEP year to year. We should stay with the current assessment system for a number of years to make sense out of the 2015, 2016, et cetera, data. And I think that's a big issue for schools because they were assured that with the change in assessment, the State Department of Education would take that into account in assessing their performance.
I think the suggestion that these poorly performing schools should be closed might come as a surprise to parents and students. I would think they're wondering why these schools aren't getting more help if they're struggling. Why do you think closing them is the reaction?
I wish I knew. I'd like to say for the record that I think the folks that work in the school reform office in the state government and those charged in the legislature with the welfare of our schools and students and teachers have the achievement of students at heart, success at heart. I think there are different models of how we might achieve that. My sense is that using a market analogy, those who favor closing schools think that there is an option that is higher performing close by. And Natasha Baker, who runs the school reform office, said that, and that they would be hesitant to close a school if there was not a high performing option nearby. Since attention has been on the Detroit public schools, it's a little bit harder to see how that could be the case. So my major concern is that if we close a school, there is a better experience coming for students, and I'm not sure about that. I don't see that evidence yet.
I'm glad you brought up Detroit schools because about a third of the schools, the poorly performing schools on this list, are from Detroit. In a report by Loveland Technologies, it found closing schools in Detroit had a lot of unintended consequences, including a lot more students leaving the district than had been expected. We've got schools in urban areas with a third of those in this bottom 5% being in Detroit and some in more rural areas. I'm wondering, what would be the kinds of consequences of closing these schools that are not being talked about right now?
I'm glad you brought up the urban-rural difference because there is a lot of attention, as you noted, on our urban schools. And if you look down the list of schools that are on the possible-to-be-closed list, most of them are in urban areas, not all. But in the rural areas, coming up with a feasible close-by alternative for students would be very difficult because of the distances involved. In our urban centers, of which Detroit is one, you are right that there is substantial migration from districts that are struggling to nearby districts that are struggling also, but they may be struggling less. So this is a great way to understand the problem with the 5%. If the students that are struggling bring their struggles, and that is not only economic and social and geographical getting to school, but also what they have not yet learned and their orientation to learning. If they bring those struggles to their new school, those new schools are going to need support, and they may end up on the 5% as well.
I find it ironic that all of the schools in the state-run Education Achievement Authority are on the list. The Snyder administration's plan was the state to step in, take control, improve them. Apparently, that's not working. So the new answer is the state can't fix it. It must need to be closed. Does that make any sense to you?
Well, I have my worries. And it doesn't make sense to me without two things. Simply being in the lowest 5% is not a good enough argument for me for closing a school, given the concerns about alternatives. Note that to be on the list, you can be on the list for a variable number of years. We don't know whether some of the schools that have been targeted on the priority school list have actually made improvements. We don't know whether there are some that have actually declined or simply kept their performance at the same level. But we need more inspection of that performance. Simply being in the lowest 5% is not a good enough metric for deciding what to do.
So what do you think ought to be done with these schools in the bottom 5%? How do we approach them?
Well, you know, I could probably run for governor if I had a good answer to that question. I've thought about it a lot. No one is going to come up with a plan for turning around struggling schools in economically challenged areas in a short period of time. The model that seems to be driving our policy in Michigan is a competitive one, a market-based one. And at the top level, I would be putting my bets on collaboration. Educators are by nature folks who help. If something is going on that's good in my school or my classroom, I by nature want to share it. We raise our teachers this way, and my time in school suggests that teachers in general feel that way. So we have high-performing schools in the city of Detroit, for example. I would want to work on supporting their efforts to collaborate with other schools to share their success. I think that's a better policy investment in the long term.
Jack Smith is a professor of education psychology in the College of Education at Michigan State University. Thanks for talking with us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.